Okay, as the kids are going away, just a reminder to the ushers or somebody to get them. I think during the offering, towards the tail end, if you can get them, bring them in so they can be part of the testimony and also hear God's blessing on them, that'd be great. So here we are on this fourth Sunday of Advent. And as we've been moving together through the season of Advent, we have been looking at these different people who populate the story. And we've looked at Mary and discussed her significance and how we share in that significance, how there's an echo in her of what is us. That we talked about how Mary was the one who brought Christ into the world, and how God uses us to be people who bring Christ into the world so that others can know and be blessed. We talked about Joseph, and it was particularly significant, I thought, the way that he was the protector of the Messiah. That when Jesus was so vulnerable and helpless, that Joseph was the one who made sure that he was secure and lived to do the things that he was called by his father to do. And we talk about how we are here to be also kind of protectors of the gospel and protectors of others who are indeed the body of Christ. That was a worthy reflection on our part. Well, today we're looking at the shepherds. And I think this one is easier for us to get our heads around. How are we like Mary? Like, really? And we're like Joseph? Really? Because they were, you know, such huge figures in the story of redemption and the unfolding plan of God. But these shepherds, on the other hand, are more like us. I think Joanne made that point to the kids really well. And did you ever notice or think about the fact that while Mary is a celebrated figure and Joseph is a celebrated figure, I mean, think how many churches have been named after Mary? Or how many churches and ministries have been named after Joseph? Many, many hundreds, thousands, hundreds of thousands, I'm sure. But when it comes to the shepherds, I could not find. I did an online search. I looked for churches that were named in honor of the shepherds in the Christmas story, and I couldn't find any. There's a lot of churches that have the word shepherd in their name, but they all refer to the Good Shepherd, to Jesus being the Good Shepherd in continuity, in line with King David, his forefather, who was the shepherd king. Jesus is called the Good Shepherd, and the shepherd reference always seems to refer back to that. Hardly ever does it actually refer to these shepherds. There is no saint shepherd that I could find. No one has given names. What were the names of these shepherds? Sometimes they make things up, like the three wise men. The Bible doesn't say who they were, but tradition has assigned them names. But no one that I could find has ever assigned a name to these shepherds. I thought that was interesting. I mean, these were the first people outside of the Holy Family to see Jesus. They were the first ones who went out into the streets and said, a good thing has been done by God, and we are witnesses of it. The first ones. Yet no one has granted them sainthood. No one, it seems, has named a church after them. I find it peculiar. Maybe that leads us to the question, why in the world would angels come from heaven sharing great news of great joy, which are for all the people, and tell it to shepherds? I mean, the angels could have gone to the editor of the Jerusalem Post and said, "We have great news." Like, okay, I'm a reporter. Let me write this down so I can publish it and proclaim this good news. Didn't do that. Could have gone to the mayor of Bethlehem and said, "Hey, political big shot, I've got news. You're the leader of our community. I've got the news for you that you can share to all those whom you represent." Didn't do that. He went, the angel did, he went to shepherds. And that is very peculiar. We tend to have a very positive attitude about shepherds, right? We think about shepherds in the Bible and we think, oh yeah, yeah, those are the wonderful, wonderful people. They're caring. The shepherds are those who are protective. They the vulnerable, the weak, they're there to be a guard for them. Jesus himself is the good shepherd. King David was a shepherd before he became the king of Israel. And so we think shepherds are noble and righteous and good in every way. But what we miss is the attitude change that had come towards shepherds. By the time you get to Jesus' day, the idea that someone would go to shepherds with news was ludicrous. No one would expect an honor like that to go to shepherds. But then again, when we look at the whole Bible and we look at the way God works through the Bible, it's remarkable that he never goes to whom you expect. In that society where the firstborn had the birthright and the firstborn, the eldest son especially, would be the representative of the family and would speak for the family and inherit the wealth of the family and be the leader of the family, God consistently bypasses that person and goes to the younger to be the one who will carry the load of responsibility of the faith and of the community. You think about Joseph. You think about Jacob. Think about Abel. And there's so many times when he had done that. There's times when God could have used an Israelite to do it, and instead he chose a foreigner. You think about the story of Ruth. Ruth, who was from Moab, one of the traditional enemies of God's people. And that is a person who was brought in to show a way of righteousness and to be a not distant grandmother, great-great-great-great-grandmother or something, of Jesus himself. Like, why did God chose a foreigner to be incorporated into the family tree? It was so often the obscure, the unexpected, the weak, the inconsequential person whom God has chosen in Scripture to be that significant person who advances the cause of redemption. Think about the 12 disciples. And a few years ago, we had a whole series where we looked at the disciples, and what was remarkable is how young they were. They were mostly teenagers. We always forget that. We think they were, you know, old men with gray beards. But the disciples in Jesus' day, when he was with them, they were probably 17 years old. And they were people from the margins of society. Fishermen who were do their jobs, but they were not high-profile people, or tax collectors who were marginally and certainly suspect. God seems to love taking the unexpected people and using them mightily. Well, not only were these shepherds kind of marginalized people in society, they were not respected at all. They were suspect. The shepherds were people who skulked around in the hills, and it was said, if someone broke into your house at night, it was probably a shepherd that did it. And shepherds were suspected of some gross immorality, and so were considered unclean, and weren't allowed to participate in all the religious rituals the way others were. People were not allowed to buy, by law, they were not allowed to buy milk or wool from a shepherd because it was simply assumed that those were stolen goods. These shepherds did not have a good reputation in society. They were not permitted to serve as witnesses in court. If they saw something reported, people would say, yeah, well, we can't believe you anyway. You're a shepherd. They were unreliable, they were suspect, and not respected at all. So, with all of that, why in the world would God send his angel to shepherds? People who were going to spread the word of what they had seen and say, yeah, but we can't believe you. Well, it was their privilege to be seen, to see the angels, to hear the message, and to share the good news. A child is born. Good news, people. The promises of God are being fulfilled. Praise the Lord. A Savior has been born to us, and we have seen Him. We testify to the truth of what has been shown to us. There is hope, people. There is the expectation. There is the guarantee of peace. And this is the message that God has given to us, and we are sharing it. And that message was clearly heard, was faithfully communicated, and was received by amazement by people. It doesn't mean that they all believed him, believed these shepherds. It doesn't mean that they said, okay, well now we know it's true because these shepherds have told us. They just did what they were called to do. The more you think about these shepherds, the more you have to love them. From what we hear and what we can gather, they were simple men, and they were good men. We have no reason, despite the prejudices of the day, to think anything but. When the angel spoke to them, they said, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that God has revealed to us. They did not say, what in the world was that? They didn't say, what have we been drinking? They didn't say, is this real? They said, let's go. Let's see this thing that the Lord has made known to us. And after they went, they saw, they had the truth confirmed for them. And then they continued to speak, telling people, hear this. People, know this. People, let us echo the angels of heaven and praise God together. This unexpected and powerful message. These untrained people. They were people who worked in solitude with the sheep, and now they were going into the town to spread the word. When Joanne and I, a couple of years ago, had the great privilege of going to Israel together, we were in Bethlehem and we learned something interesting. Shepherds never stayed out at night with their flocks. They just didn't do it. They would take their sheep out to the hills and they would find grass and lead them from one place of pasture to another. But when the day was ending, they would take their sheep back to their place and put them in a sheepfold or in a stable or a pen so that they could be secure during the night and the shepherds could get their rest. And then the next day they would go back and do that. And the sheep pen was often a stable or a cave or something where there could be security. If you look up in John chapter 10, Jesus' parable is of the sheep pen. And that's exactly what was very, very normal. It was suggested to us as we were reflecting with the group on this, is it could it be, and it was just a wonder, but could it be that when Jesus was about to be born and Mary was great with child and they couldn't find a place, that shepherds saw them and gave them their place? That the shepherd said, here, you have our stable. You can have security in it. You can have there's straw there. You can lay down. And then we will stay out at night with the sheep. And we're going to set watches so that the sheep are safe. But you can have that space for your needs. Maybe that's why the shepherds didn't ask the angels, okay, well, where do we find this newborn Savior? Because they pretty much knew, because they had allowed Mary and Joseph to use their place. There's no way of knowing if that's true, but I find it intriguing. And it kind of makes sense with what is known about the culture and the custom of shepherds. Well, another reason for me to say, you got to love these shepherds. I love them, and I love the church, which is a church of shepherds. And I love all these faithful churches in the world that honor the Messiah, because all together, to be a Christian is to be a shepherd. Through the Word and by the gift of the Holy Spirit, we hear the message of the angels. It is a repository in us. We are gifted with that revelation. And through the Word and by the work of the Holy Spirit, we perceive, we recognize the Savior. And in obedience to the Word, and again by the prompting and filling and empowering of the Holy Spirit, we are equipped to, by word and by deed, to share the great news of wonderful joy for all the people, that the Savior of the world has been born, and that He is Christ the Lord. We sometimes say, well, we are not equipped to share the gospel. We don't have the gift of evangelism, so therefore we just don't do it. Well, that doesn't really work, because the shepherds weren't trained evangelists. They never went to any kind of evangelism seminar, never took a series of classes at the church and learned tricks and techniques and strategies. They simply told people what they knew, what they saw, what they had come to believe. We don't need to be Billy Grahams. And we also know that our witness isn't some kind of heavy-handed proselytizing where we have to back people into a corner and beat them over the head with the gospel, and maybe some of it will break through into their brains. It is a simple living out, and when it is appropriate, telling people. For instance, I assume that you're going to come to worship the Lord and give thanks on Christmas Day. It's what we do. It's our custom. It's our tradition. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And you're with your friends, and they say, So, what are you doing for Christmas Day? Yeah, we're going to sleep in, the kids open their presents, and then I'm going to drink a whole bunch of beer, and I'll fall asleep in bed by the end, and think, that was a good day. They say, what about you? And you say, well, actually, we're going to go to churches at 10, we're going to be with the congregation, thanking God, and then we're going to have a family gathering, and it's going to be wonderful. And they'll say, well, yeah, what's with this church thing? Like, wouldn't you rather sleep in? And then you say, well, you know, our family, like, we are a Christian family. We believe that the things about that are taught about Christ are actually true. And we want to celebrate that. So we're going to be doing that. Like that's what it is, people. It's not a fancy thing that no one is able to say. It's being honest and not hiding. You could tell people, say, well, yeah, we're just going to be together. And don't mention the fact you're going to be together at church for part of the day. Don't mention that there's this faith, spiritual belief component. You can get away with not saying anything. And I think too often that's what we do, that we say, well, it's private. Society has said faith has become something that you keep to yourself, that you don't wear on your sleeve, and you don't cause uncomfortable situations by letting people know that you happen to believe something. And if we're going to be real good shepherds, we need to get over that. And I be clear, I'm not saying be obnoxious or be rude or be insensitive, but just be real and be unashamed. Let us together be the tellers of truth, the great and glorious truth that Jesus has come, that hope is ours, that peace can be found, and that it is just indeed as you have been told. So, are you significant? Yes, you are. Do you matter? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. According to the measure of many, and we have talked about this in these weeks, Joseph and Mary, insignificant people by most measures of societal recollection. The shepherds, even less significant than Joseph, and less significant even than Mary, this girl living in the provincial backwater. But according to the Lord, and according really, even though they may not know it, to all those who need to hear the good news of great joy that is for all people, you are absolutely significant. You are truly indispensable for the plan of God to be accomplished in the world. Who is going to tell people about the most important spiritual news ever if not from you? How are the people in your circles going to get an idea that there is something powerful and significant and beautiful and true in all of this stuff? That it's more than Santa Claus, right? It's more than drunken office parties. It's about peace on earth. How will they know except through you? Let us be faithful shepherds. There are still many who have not heard or understood the best news ever shared. Would you pray with me? Dear God in heaven, you have told us the greatest story. You have shown us what love looks like. You have let us know that your promises are being accomplished. It has been revealed to us that you love the world and that you call people into a wonderful relationship with you. Thank you for all of that. Now we pray that your church will be faithful. Faithful in being the kind of community where good news is expressed. The kind of community in which we are empowered and encouraged to fulfill our callings. We know that for each of us is different, and how we do it is going to be different, but we pray that you will indeed prompt us, give us a little nudge, so that we can be more faithful to this great opportunity to be the sharers of good news. We pray not only for us as we do this, we pray that you'll be with those that are indeed in our spheres of influence or relationship, so that when they hear gentle words of our faith, that it may move them to explore how to make that faith their own, how to make you, our Lord, their Lord as well. Because we know that that is indeed the hope of the world. So we trust you, Lord, to empower us, and we look forward to all the things that you will yet do in and among us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.